Welcome to the Product Podcast, brought to you by Product School, the podcast where you get fresh insight from leaders at top tech companies and startups. Remember, you can learn product management in person at our 15 campuses worldwide or study with us online. Visit productschool.com to learn more about our courses. You can also hang out with the leaders from these podcasts at our hundreds of annual events and catch us at ProductCon, the world's largest PM conference that takes place every year across the United States and in London.
Hi, good morning. My name is Daniel Elizalde. I'm very excited to be here today at ProductCon. I hope everybody is doing okay. I am a vice president and head of IoT for Ericsson, and I run an innovation lab called the D15 IoT Studio here in Silicon Valley, where we work with IoT technology, 5G, AI, and other emerging technologies to make sure that we take advantage of this upcoming revolution of technology. And today I want to share some of that experience that I've learned, not only in this current role, but in over 20 years of product management working in emerging technologies. So by now, you've probably heard a lot about the Internet of Things, about 5G, about AI, and all the changes and upside that they're going to bring and the disruption they're going to bring. There's going to be billions of devices connected. AI is going to change the work that we do every day. There's all sorts of things that we are supposed to be doing. And yes, the technology is very capable, but what we're really finding is that we're not there yet. We're just getting started with some of these changes, and a lot of projects are not seeing the success that we were expecting a few years back. So in this talk, I want to share some of those reflections with you. I want to tell you about my experience of driving innovation with emerging technologies like IoT, 5G, and AI from a product management perspective. I'm going to tell you about three main topics. First of all, the opportunity is big and success rates are not as high as we've expected. And I'm going to tell you why. And I'm going to tell you some of the roadblocks that we're seeing. I'm also going to talk about, from a product manager perspective, how we need to move beyond just delivering products and focused on solutions. And you'll hear me talk a lot about those things. And then I'm going to share with you some best practices that I've learned throughout the years on how to drive innovation in this emerging technologies. So welcome again, and I hope that you enjoy the talk. I want to start by grounding where are we with these types of technologies. And I'm going to talk about the law of diffusion of innovation and the idea of crossing the chasm from the book Crossing the Chasm from Geoffrey Moore, which pretty much is it's a must read for a lot of us product managers. What that diffusion of innovation tells us is that all adoption of technology falls into a standard distribution with some very specific buckets. It says that about 2.5% of people are innovators. They're going to be trying a lot of these technologies very quickly. About 13.5% are going to be early adopters. About 34% are going to be an early majority. 34% are going to be late majority. And then the laggards. And then Geoffrey Moore in his book makes the case that there is a chasm between the early adopters and the early majority. And a lot of companies struggle to jump that portion of the adoption, and therefore their products never get to scale. And to be honest, this is the same challenge that we're seeing with these emerging technologies. If we think about IoT, 5G, AI, blockchain, all these emerging technologies, right now, the people that are adopting them, they're the technology enthusiasts. They're the ones who are willing to try anything just because it's cool or because they are willing to take a lot more risk. And as you can see, there's only about 15-16% of the overall market in this spaces of innovators and early adopters. So yes, you can have a good business there, but you really won't get to scale. And what we're seeing is that a lot of the companies working on these technologies are stuck in this initial phase. So there's many studies out there, and you know, summarizing, around 70% of IoT deployments are stuck in this pre-chasm space. I talked to hundreds of product leaders, and they confirmed this, from product managers to CEOs, that the main challenge they're having on pushing forward with solutions on IoT or 5G AI have to do with not being able to cross the chasm. Now, if we think about what it takes to be on the other side, in Geoffrey Moore in his book talks about that the early majority is composed by pragmatists. And these are people that they have a pain today and they're willing to try new solutions, but only if they focus on solving their specific problems. Meaning they're not going to try technology just because, so they're not gonna be as forgiving with early bugs or just partial implementations. And so the reason that I'm telling you all this is because in order for us to drive innovation in these new technologies and to improve the ratio of success, we have to focus on pragmatists, understanding what do they want, what is their goal, and how can we position our products to get there. Notice that here I'm highlighting for the pragmatists, they're willing to try technology as part of a full solution. And that is the key, not components, but a full solution. I'd like to share with you my definition of a full solution. A full solution incorporates technology capabilities to create products and services that address a customer's pain. And I've highlighted a few of the sections that I believe are important for product managers to think about. First of all, technology capabilities, products, services, and of course, customer's pain. So I will spend a little bit more time on each one of these sections. Now, the question here is, what value can you create with IoT, 5G, or AI? So it's not about the specific capabilities or the features of these technologies, but it's about the value that we can create for our customers. And unfortunately, I see a lot of companies focusing specifically on the technology. I talk to a lot of executives that say, well, I just need an IoT solution and I'll be set. Or my roadmap for this year has to do with AI. And they're putting a lot of hope on these technologies to be able to save their business. But in reality, these are just capabilities that are going to help us deliver the value that we need for our customer. So let's talk a little bit about what is that capability? What can we leverage out of these technologies? In a nutshell, from the Internet of Things, the main capability that you can get is that you can analyze and control your customer's physical environment in real time. The Internet of Things, it's all about adding sensors to measure real-world signals and processing them to provide insights. So if your customer problem has the need for this real-time insights of real-world data, then the Internet of Things can be a good addition to your overall offering. For 5G, in a nutshell, allows you to connect large number of devices and move large amounts of data very fast with very low latency. So it's a connectivity technology that allows us to move a lot of data very fast, low latency. So if your customer pain can benefit from these capabilities, then this is a great way to start. And of course, AI is just a way to generate actionable insights from large amounts of data. If you have a lot of data either acquired from the field based on sensors or machine produced or human produced, and you need to make sense of all that data, well, AI can help you, or machine learning can help you. So as you can see, it's not about necessarily a technology, but what you can actually contribute to the solution for your customer's pain based on this technology. Now, the second point that I mentioned on top of the capabilities, I talked about products and services. And that's one of the main things that differentiates the early adopters from the pragmatists in the adoption curve is the full solution that includes products and services across the life cycle. So in this example, I have a cellular-based IoT solution that includes devices. This is a hardware that has the sensors, the compute power, et cetera. Maybe you have an on-premise edge compute. You have some sort of connectivity to get the data across. Maybe you're leveraging the edge at the network space. You might have public cloud, and you might have some applications running on top of that. So all these components form a solution that's going to provide value to your customer. And so the pragmatists are not really looking to buy different pieces and put it together to figure out how it works. They're expecting to buy something that's already put together, that has a cohesive user experience that simply works. Now, the other part is the services. When I talk about services across the life cycle for this type of solutions, I'm talking about this types of solutions usually have hardware and software. So the life cycle is a little bit different than just software or just hardware. So the typical stages of the life cycle are going to be installation, deployment, provisioning, operation, maintenance, and decommissioning. So that means that when your solution has been sold to a pragmatist, they are expecting not only the integrated solution from the technology perspective, but also the services that go with it. Who is going to install it? Who is going to deploy it, meaning connected to other systems in their facility? Who is going to operate it in terms of security patches, health, maintenance, et cetera? So all these services need to happen, and you need to put them together in an offering that makes sense for your customer. So that's why when we see a lot of products dying in a pilot stage, usually it's not because of the technology per se, right? But oftentimes it's because the full solution was not thought out. So yes, you might be able to do a proof of concept with a couple of manufacturing facilities, let's say that's your target. But when the customer is saying, hey, yes, that's great, this works, let's take it and roll it out worldwide, then the companies are like, wait, you're responsible to do that. You're responsible to install it. I can't provision the devices across the world, or I can't provide maintenance. And that's why a lot of companies say, well, you know what? This is not ready for prime time. We're just not going to do it. So when we're thinking about driving innovation in this type of emerging technologies, just understand what the enterprises that are buying these solutions at scale are really looking for. And it's the job of the product manager to make sure that all these pieces fit together and there are the necessary tools throughout the life cycle to support these solutions. Now, let's take a look at a couple of examples from the customer perspective, just to bring it all together. One of the things that I mentioned in this definition of a solution is, of course, technology, product, services, and focus on a customer pain. And this is the bread and butter for every product manager, right? We have to focus on the customer pain. So what does this look like for this emerging technologies? In this example, let's take a look at something from the retail industry. So the customer pain could be something like what a retail manager would say. We lose over 25% of our inventory to theft every year. Now notice that they're not saying we need AI or we need an IoT solution, right? They don't really care about that. They care about the business impact to their inventory. Now, a proposed solution that solves that problem could be a system that tracks the inventory on the shelves and monitors customers to alert the theft. Notice that I'm highlighting proposed solution. This is not necessarily what you're going to deliver, but this is your hypothesis of a solution, and I'll talk more about that in a second. So the solution could be a system that tracks inventory on the shelves and monitors customers to alert for theft. And so the capabilities that you can use to create that solution are the ones that technology gives you. Maybe you need sensors to track the motion on the shelves, or the cameras to monitor people behavior. So that's an Internet of Things solution. You might need to move that data very fast between your retail shop and the cloud. And so you need 5G, and then you need to process a lot of information. So you need AI. And so you can see how all these building blocks fit together to form a solution that solves a pain on the customer and not the other way around. Let's take a look at another example. This time is from the energy industry. Me being very passionate about the energy renewables and all the things that they can solve with this emerging technologies. So let's say that electric utility operator has this problem statement. We lose a lot of money when power lines fail since we are not able to meet our customers' commitment. Again, notice that it's a business problem. It's not necessarily a technology problem. A proposed solution could be a service providing zero unplanned downtime by monitoring the power lines in real time and providing proactive maintenance. And I highlight services here because this is really where the change in mentality and business models comes into play. In this particular case, you could lead with an IoT solution that acquires data and shows all the data of when the system is going to fail on a dashboard for the utility operator. And that might be helpful, but that doesn't really solve the problem. They really didn't ask for, show me the data when things are gonna fail. All they care is uptime. And so maybe what they are really looking for is a service. So your company can provide a service to do the maintenance proactively, and your company is backed by an IoT system that uses 5G and IoT and AI, et cetera, to give you that visibility, but it's not the visibility to the customer, it's for your own service staff to provide that maintenance. So it's a different business model, but again, this is what the customer needs in order to solve their pain, as opposed to just throwing the technology at them. I've been in those situations many times, and they oftentimes, they don't know what to do with it, or that's not really what's solving the problem. So that's why these projects get abandoned. So to drive innovation, focus on what would solve really the pain of the customer. And again, the same way we can do that capabilities analysis, you can have an Internet of Things solution that monitors the power lines, let's say through a drone, which is a connected device, streams data back and forth through 5G and analyzes through AI. But again, it's all based on what you're trying to solve for your customer. Okay, so I'm gonna move on and I wanna talk about 5 best practices that you can use to drive innovation with these emerging technologies. And like I said, these are a lot of practices that I've learned throughout the years, painstakingly making all of these mistakes. So we talked about the curve of adoption and the chasm. This is where we need to jump from selling to the early adopters and innovators and more into the early majority, which is made of the pragmatists. So my recommendation is to apply a lean method here of your proposed full solution. So focused on full solutions, but then validate the value with the pragmatists. And I think that's a lot of the parts that I see missing a lot. Companies just want to jump and develop the solutions because they feel that that's the way they're going to get the momentum. In reality here, we need to validate that what we're going to build, our proposed solution, is what's going to solve the problem for our customer and our company. That's why I really like this idea of the IDEO framework of desirability, feasibility, and viability. Desirability just checks whether the market or our customers want our solution, whether that is going to solve their problem. Feasibility focuses on whether we can build a product that can actually solve the problem. Can we actually put together the technology to solve that problem? And then viability, can we actually make money? Can we monetize this in a way that works for us and for our customers? So using this framework, I'm going to talk about 5 best practices as an example of how you can drive innovation in these areas. So the first one that I want to share with you is start with a single use case for a single industry vertical. So this best practice has to do with desirability, figuring out whether the market wants your solution. And so number one, start with a single use case. The challenge that I see here very often is that because these technologies are so powerful, AI, 5G, IoT, you can do a lot. And so companies believe that they are better served, they're hedging their bets if they try to go after all possible use cases or multiple industries at the same time. And so they dilute their resources and they go not very deep in a lot of different areas. So what happens is that you might have some success in each of the verticals, but you don't have anything to replicate. The problem here of how this is perceived is that if we go back to who are we trying to sell now, which is the pragmatists, they are not going to jump into technology just because. They want to see that other people in their industry, in their verticals, are adopting the technology and that it's working for them. Therefore, if you are trying to make inroads in a particular vertical, let's say manufacturing, and within manufacturing, the use case that you would like to pursue is predictive maintenance. When you talk to the manufacturing plant managers, they're going to say, show me other cases that you have for this. And if you don't have any, you have one for manufacturing, one for agriculture, one for healthcare, and one for automotive, then you're not going to be taken seriously because you haven't seen the repetition and you're not ready to scale. So this is our job as product managers to convince executives that we're better off focusing our efforts with one single use case in one vertical and then get traction from there, okay? Let's move on. The best practice number 2 that I wanna share is validate your customer's willingness to pay early on. This should be a practice that all product managers follow, but believe it or not, I don't see a lot of this in the world of emerging technologies. The belief goes that because these technologies are so powerful, then as long as we put them together, people will run and buy them. And that's usually not the case. Another challenge is that because these are new technologies, it's usually more expensive to put them together, and they are very complex systems. And so oftentimes the resulting solution is very expensive. And so our customers might have a pain, but it turns out that solving that pain is not worth that much. It's not worth the total amount that our solution cost. And all of a sudden, we're competing against something that has no traction. Right? You might say, we have this AI, IoT, 5G solution for predictive maintenance of pumps in the manufacturing field. And once the plant manager does the analysis, they might say, you know what, your system is so expensive that I am better off just buying redundant pumps and just install two of everything, and I'm going to be better served. Right? So validating how big of a problem the customer have, what is the willingness to pay, and can you create something that falls in that category is very important to do it early on, because if you don't do it early on, you're going to be spending a lot of money and not being able to get traction, right? So that's why I put this in the desirability segment as well. Now, let's move on to the third best practice. My third best practice here is to define your build versus buy versus partner strategy very early on as well. I'm moving now to the feasibility portion of our analysis. The reason why I say this is so important is because these solutions are very complex. You have devices, you have edge, you have connectivity, you have cloud applications, services. So no single company, no matter how big they are, can realistically pull together a solution this big. Therefore, you need to do this analysis of what is it that your company is really going to build? What can you buy off the shelf, and how can you partner with other people to complete the stack? So if you're a software company, maybe you want to stay on the software side and partner with hardware and vice versa. One of the biggest mistakes that I see here with innovation is that companies just want to build everything themselves, or they build something that is good enough for the early adopters, but then when they're trying to scale, it just doesn't, right? It doesn't have the supply chain behind it. It doesn't have the worldwide sales force that you need, so your partners might not have that, et cetera. So all these different business criteria that you have to figure out in order for your solution to go from niche to scale, right? So defining build versus buy versus partner very early on is gonna save you a lot of headaches. The fourth best practice that I wanna share with you is very important. This is probably one of the more important ones. And I put it both on feasibility and viability, and I'll explain why. So number four is understand what it will take to build, sell, and operate your solution at scale with a profit. See, when we're thinking about putting together a proof of concept, let's say for IoT, to be honest, it's very easy these days to connect a sensor to the cloud and show some data on a dashboard. But that's not really the problem. When you're trying to go to scale and you're trying to figure out how do you connect all these sensors and devices at scale, how do you keep them with the health checks? How do you make sure they don't get hacked? How do you ensure that you have over-the-air updates? All these different things, then it's where it starts to get very complicated. And I say that this is feasibility and viability because it's a technical aspect of how you're going to build your solution and how you're going to operate it in the field at scale. But also it's a viability situation, because once you do the analysis of what it will take to run something at scale, it turns out that the costs are not under control, and then your business model is completely upside down. I've seen many companies that their business model works at smaller scales, but as they start scaling, that just doesn't work. And therefore, the whole company just goes under because they start bleeding money month after month. So doing this analysis very early on and see if there's a path to profitability at scale is very important to early on. And when you're driving innovation, it's a little bit hard to have this discussion with executives because it's so early that you don't want to think that far forward because you don't know if it's going to have success, at least at the MVP level. But it's important that you start doing those projections. As a product manager, you need to project that whether it is doable or not, so that you can be realistic to say there's a business here or not. And then the last one that I want to share with you is experiment with business models and find the one that works for you, for your customers, and your partners. And this is, of course, in the viability. Viability has two parts. One, of course, you're trying to understand whether there is a market big enough and there's a willingness to pay for this solution that will make you money. There's some profits there that you can do. That's the external facing part of viability. But there's also the internal facing part. What that means is that your company's strategy needs to be aligned with what it takes to drive innovation in this type of technologies, and that it will support whatever model comes out. So for example, you might figure out that what your customer needs is not a product, but it's more of a service. And there might be an external viability for that, but your company is a product company and is not willing to go into a services model. So it's not viable internally. The same is true for your partners, because as I mentioned before in my diagram, you have device partners and you have connectivity partners and cloud partners, etc. Well, all of them have their own business models. And when you're putting together a solution, there has to be a holistic business model that has to accommodate all the individual business models, and everything has to work, and there has to be enough of a margin there to make a viable business. And so understanding this very early is very important. And the best way to do it is through business model experimentation, doing testing of the business models to figure out what works for all these different parties early on. So that is a lot of the work that product managers need to do when you're dealing with innovation, is putting together these different business models and shop them around with your customers, with your partners, with your executives internally until you find something that has potential, okay? So I've seen companies that they figure out the feasibility, they can build it, there is some desirability in the market, and they can't really figure out the viability, but they still launch it and the product never makes any money. So be very cognizant of this, right? Of course, we have to deal with this on every type of product, but when you're dealing with emerging technologies and solution as complex as the ones I'm talking about with IoT and 5G and AI, et cetera, this becomes exponentially more complex and therefore exponentially more important for you as a product leader to make sure that you figure out all these details early on. But before I leave you, I want to just point out a couple of takeaways from my talk. The first one is that IoT, 5G, and AI are very, very powerful tools, and they're going to become the new normal. They're already becoming the new normal. So most products are going to have one form of that or another. But technology alone is not enough. We have to make sure that there's the desirability part and there's the viability part to make sure that we address the right type of customer to cross the chasm. And in order to scale innovation, focus on full solutions that solve the pragmatist needs. It's okay to start with the early adopters, but keep your eyes on crossing the chasm and how are you going to migrate to that part. And so the best practices that I share here are a good start. And with that, I want to thank you so much for joining my talk here. Again, my name is Daniel Elizalde. And if you want to see some of the work we're doing at Ericsson driving this type of innovation, you can visit ericsson.com/IoT Studio. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the Product Podcast. If you like this episode, don't forget to leave a review on iTunes. For more product insights, head over to productschool.com.